Welcome, everyone. I am Craig with Hurry Up Pinball, and you are here for the Hurry Up Pinball podcast. This is episode 2, and today's guest is going to be Matt Morrison. So I talk about Matt on stream all the time. He's loaned me a couple games. So we've had one that's been here, what, 3 years?
I think so.
We're talking about today. So Twilight Zone's been here about 3 years. So that's his. And we're going to get into a whole bunch of stuff today. Talk about some history in pinball. Fixing games, designers, let's see, WPC games.
Yeah, sure.
WPC games, playfield angles, which is always fun. And then we'll do our favorite games, hot takes, and 10 pinball questions. So with that, if you guys will notice, I did make some changes to the layout, make it a little easier to see, a little bit bigger picture boxes, but played with some layouts as well, so should be pretty good. And just for the record, on the last episode, we did have some popping going on, so I did order pop filters. Unfortunately, they're not here today, so we're going to try and take it easy. But TV Ben was on the last episode. He has a very commanding voice. He has a radio voice, and when he says stuff, it hits. So we were hitting the pop filter a little bit, or the limiter. So hopefully it won't happen today, but we'll deal with it, right? That's what you do. All right, so with that, Matt, tell us how you got started in pinball.
Oh, let's see. Well, actually started becoming kind of a fanatic in college. I was at a family fun center kind of place that had go-karts and mini golf, all that stuff. And I saw them unbox a Simpsons Pinball Party. You know, this would have been like 2004 or something.
It's a fun
like
game. I've never owned it.
Yeah, me either. Oddly enough, you know, I chased it for a while, and then I just kind of fell out of favor, you know, with my play style and stuff. But saw them unboxed, and I was like, wow, that's amazing. I've never seen a brand new one unboxed. And then I kind of got addicted to it. You know, I had this 2-hour break between classes, and I would go play Simpsons every day.
Yeah.
And that's kind of when I figured out, like, oh, you know, there's like, you can be good at this. Like, I would win free games constantly. You know, I was only spending like $1 or $2 because
the best.
Yeah, the replay was so low because, you know, these poor kids were coming in there getting destroyed, then I'm coming in and cleaning up all the free games.
Yeah.
But I got addicted to it. And then I remember going on eBay at the time and saying, like, you know, I want to buy one of these. And
eBay. We all go to eBay first.
Yeah. And
I don't go to eBay. And don't go to eBay to buy your first pin.
I think
we all have that story, don't we?
Finding like a distributor even back then, or another website that had, you know, new in-box games. And it was, I think, a brand new Simpsons then was like maybe 38 or 4 grand or something, maybe 42 something. And I was like, holy crap, I'll never be able to afford one of these.
Here we are.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And so it kind of left my mind. And as I moved around and different places, Simpsons would always pop up at a bowling alley or somewhere. But that was really kind of when I got hooked. You know, I played it when I was a kid. We had an arcade in the mall that died, you know, towards the end of the 90s. And they had Addams Family and Kiss and a Theater of Magic and stuff. And I think I was too young at the time, or nobody explained to me, you know, that you can cradle the ball. You can, you know, there's flipper skills.
Yeah.
It wasn't until I was older that I just kind of intuitively figured it out. But so that was kind of the introduction to the addiction, you know, that it kind of got its hooks in me. But I didn't buy a machine till, you know, probably years later.
I like Simpsons Pinball Party. I've never owned that game. I've always wanted it, but I just don't want it. It got crazy for a little while price-wise.
It did, yeah. Even, you know, by the time I did start buying machines, it had already went up. It kind of appreciated in value, really. And I'd played it enough on location that I kind of didn't need to own it. You know, I knew that...
Did you beat the game on location?
No. I made it to...
talk about beating games later.
Yeah. I made it to Alien... Is it Alien Invasion?
Yeah, isn't couch multi-ball, is couch multi-ball just one of the modes, or is it the final?
No, couch is just, you know, the multi-ball, but if you get through all the modes, it's the multi-level stage mini wizard mode, and then I cannot remember for the life of me what the final wizard mode is, but you got to do everything else, you know, to get to that.
Yeah, that's Keith Johnson for you, right?
Yeah, for sure.
You got to do everything.
That, you know, really, Simpsons is harder probably than Lord of the Rings, I'm sure, you know, but...
Wow.
Yeah, that was never made it that far. I've almost beat Alien Invasion. I think
Alien,
that's what it is. Please correct me. I'm sorry if I butchered it. But,
yeah, somebody will correct us at some point, but it's fine. That's a game I like. I just there was one at the auction, and I bet on it, but it got up. It got up. Ben was like, "Yeah, that one's got a lot of play. It's got a lot of wear on it for home use only."
Yeah. Yeah.
And I bid it up. I think I bid up to like $4,000, and I was like, I'm out. No.
Yeah.
Like, after that, it's fine. I bought another game at the auction, so I'm like, yeah, I'm really stretching it out here. I'm glad I didn't get it, because I ended up with The Walking Dead at a great price.
Yeah, that was fantastic. And really, probably, like we'll talk about later, maybe the, you know, one of the best games of its generation, really.
I love that game. It's mean, but I love it.
Yeah, Simpsons, you know, it's a lot of stop and go,
yeah,
which early on I kind of really liked, because it's a breather.
Gives you a chance.
Yeah, constantly. Yeah. But as I've gotten older and had more games, I'm like, oh, come on, let's go, you know.
I still have this theory that part of the reason you do so well at games is because you will actually slow down and be patient and aim your shots.
Yeah, because I'm not an on-the-fly guy.
I'm slapping the ball. I like playing on the fly because I can actually get into a rhythm and be like, oh, I can hit this. But some of these games that are really brutal, like Turtles, it's like, gotta slow it down, dude.
Yeah, you gotta
Walking
slow
Dead,
down.
Gotta slow it down. Tron, gotta slow it down.
Yeah.
So I'm glad I have those games. It's helping with the reaction time, too, because they're so brutally fast.
Yeah, Turtles is maybe like the fastest game of at least the last 10 years. It is so ridiculously fast.
Yeah.
I mean, being able to hit the orbit in that upper side.
I've looped that thing 3 times, the inner loop on the top. And I was like, dude. And then the third one, it came through so fast. It went straight down the drain.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't even see
it. It's insane.
Yeah. It was fun though, man. But yeah, the Simpsons. So Simpsons Pinball Party. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So what was the first game you bought?
Taxi. Yep.
Taxi. Did you get the one with Marilyn on the?
It was a Marilyn. Yeah, it was a Marilyn. I had been somewhere and I was like, well, surely at this point, you know, I was a little more established in the career, and I was like, I could afford an older game, probably. You know,
yeah.
I went to a barcade and you know, the guy was like, oh, this thing's worth like $3,000 or $4,000. You know, this is like 8 years ago or something, and I was like, God, man, these things are ridiculous, you know. And I went on, I found Pennside, put up a wanted ad, and a dude in South Carolina was like, yeah, I've got one, $1,300.
Nice.
So, you know, or it might have been 12, but you know.
Yeah, it would have been 15,000 on eBay.
Yeah, right.
Because it has Marilyn on it, right? It's rare.
What was funny was, you know, I got to talking to the guy. He had owned Taxi multiple times over the years.
Yeah.
He'd been in the hobby a long time, and he was like, I don't believe that whole thing about it's rare. He's like, I've actually had Lolas less than I've had Marilyns, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, brought it back fully functioning. You know, I did a little bit of work to it, not anything major. And then I bought a Ghostbusters. That was the first new in box.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I love Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
It's such a great game. After Dwight fixed that code, I played it before they changed the code, and I was kind of like,
Yeah.
And then they fixed the code, and I was like, I gotta buy one.
Yeah.
I got one. I was glad I did. I loved it. I had that game 4 years.
Yeah, it's, you know, even I kind of got to where I love the old code. I mean, because that's all I knew, you know. But it was really difficult. I mean, you know, as a newer player at the time, or owning machines, that was a trial. That's, you know, baptism by fire. Like, you know,
on those damn Scolari brothers. Scolari brothers.
Oh,
hey,
yeah.
It's the Scolari brothers. We're talking about that with Ben. Scolari brothers are out again
all the time.
All the time, man.
So when I got it, and unfortunately, I bought it like pretty soon after it had been released, so the code update didn't happen for a long time, you know. And I think it was maybe 6 months, 8 months after I sold it, the code update finally came out, and so it, you know, I'd already gotten rid of it, but I made it to the end by that point.
I started it. I never beat the final wizard mode.
Well, that was the thing, was on the old code, Are You a God wasn't in it, so it was kind of three levels of We Came, We Saw.
Yeah.
So that was pretty much all that was in the game. If you could finish all the ladders, that was kind of it. So
I like that, because it was easy to pick up. You know, you hit these shots, and eventually, you know, you get your modes going. I enjoyed that. That was a fun game. You know, there's times I miss it, but, you know, I say this all the time. You can't keep them all, man.
Can't keep them all. If they ever did, you know, a modern, it had the movie in it, like an LCD Spike 2 or 3 upgrade, I would probably have to buy another Pro.
Yeah.
I don't need the premium. The Pro's fine.
See, for me, I'm like, that's a game, like, you know, when I used to stream it a lot, it always gets nailed for the music.
Yeah.
Always got nailed. But I put them up anyways. Like, sometimes I'll do that. I'm like, I don't care about that. Like, you know, if it's, when they say nailed for the music, basically you can't monetize any of that stuff.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, I always joke with people. I'm like, they're like, oh, you stream, you do this. And I'm like, look, pinball is not gaming. Pinball is not online gaming.
Right.
You know, 10,000 followers is an amazing number for pinball, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, so the only reason I tell people all the time, the only reason I do it, it just helps offset the cost of some of the stuff.
Oh, yeah.
It's, you know, trust me, what I spend on this rig, I'll probably never get it back, but I just love it, man.
It's cool.
Yeah.
Did a great job with it.
It's fun. One of these days, I got to get a picture of it and throw it up here so people can see this crazy contraption. It looks like a robot.
When you showed me the picture, I said it looked like a weird version of Johnny Five from Short Circuit.
Yeah, I need to put a Johnny Five head on the top.
Yeah,
I'll 3D print one.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, leave it in the corner. People are like, what is that? I'm like, don't ask. So first games. You know, since we're talking history and pinball, I actually met Matt. When I bought my first modern Stern, I think that was my fourth game.
Okay.
I think Adam's Family Twilight Zone, I bought that fun house that I restored, and then I was like, I kind of want one of these new games.
Yeah.
You know, because I'd been through Fun House, I'd been through Twilight Zone, and I've been through that, and I'm like, let's try one of these games with new code. Iron Maiden, right? Yeah. Go for an easy one. So that's how I met you. I found it on Pinside, messaged him, super responsive, and drove up to Asheville to go pick it up. And I get there, I was talking with Matt about this earlier. Jen was down, my wife was down here, and we were talking. And I was like, yeah, I showed up, and I'd never moved a game, I'd never wrapped a game, I had no idea what I was doing, and I showed up, and Matt had all the shit done. It was wrapped, he had it on a hand truck. There's a big hill where you were living that it had to go around. I'm like, hey, do you need me to help you with that? I was trying to be helpful, right? And he's like, no, I got it, dude. And he wheeled it out, threw it in the car, the Pilot, and that was it. And then I think I probably, you know, you were asking me how it was and all that, you know, any issues and everything. And it was good. And then I think probably a month, and it might have been more than a month or two later, I just randomly messaged you. I think I'm like, hey, man, I'm like, how's it going? I'm like, you getting a new game? Something like that.
Yeah.
And then we started talking on a regular basis, and we've been friends ever since.
Yeah. That I sold that taxi and bought the Iron Maiden,
yeah,
you know, when it came out, and played it, loved it. But at the time, you know, you could only afford so many, only had space for so many, which is the eternal problem. So I sold it. And it just,
I have that problem right now, Matt. There's two sitting there, and there's actually a third game that he brought me, which is sitting in the corner, which I'm super psyched. We'll talk about that in a little bit.
Yeah. So I'm out of room. You need to, but it's,
I'm out of room right now too.
But
it's okay. I'll figure it out.
If you're nice in the hobby and you make friends like Craig and vice versa, you don't have to afford every game. You know, you guys can share games and play different stuff. And that's what we like to do sometimes is, you know, swap around. That way we get to play a little bit of everything.
Yeah. We keep talking about that with X-Men. Yeah. I want to play X-Men Pro in a home setting.
Yeah.
You know, I want to get some games on it. So
Let's let the code get a little more mature and we'll
swap we'll get that it. One around. Yeah. Go 50, go halvesies on it.
Why not?
Just move it around and then, you know, when we're done, move it on.
Yeah. Yeah. So, that was interesting. You know, it's funny, really, when you get into a geographical area, the guys who have been in it for a while, everyone knows everyone at some point. So it actually becomes like a really great community of, you know, if somebody says they're going to buy something, usually, and you know them, they're going to buy it. There's not going to be a lot of tire kicking or you know, shenanigans. Yeah. It's all good.
Every once in a while, there's stuff that comes up and, you know, it's just, I'm just like, yeah, I'm just not, nah. Mm-hmm. That's not the kind of deal I want to make.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, you have to do that. One of the hardest things I ever did, I walked away from a game I really wanted because it wasn't in the condition I wanted it
in. I've done that twice. Yeah. It's tough.
It's tough.
Especially if you've been looking for a while.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And you find somebody willing to part with one and you go look at it. And I was just, the more I looked at it, I was like, oh, I know I'm going to try and fix that. And I'm like, I don't even know how to fix that.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's going to drive me insane.
Yeah.
To the point where I'm going to do a playfield swap.
Right. Like, yeah.
Because I just don't want to look at it.
Yeah.
You know, that's my OCD, but.
Oh, for sure. And, you know, when you get into restoring games, it just becomes a mountain of like, okay, well, everything plastic on the playfield is going to have.
Shipping fees.
Oh, yeah. Shipping fees. You know, anything plastic is going to have to be replaced or it's going to stick out like a sore thumb. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, well, I've got this beautiful
new play field with old plastics.
Yeah. People will ask for that sometimes. And it's like, that doesn't make any sense. So really the amount of money it takes to do one nice,
or,
it starts to devolve into madness, you know, and you have to make that commitment going in to know that if you're OCD like we are a lot of times, that you know you're not going to stop until it's exactly, you know, as nice as it possibly can be, you know.
I was thinking about this the other day. Yesterday went to the basement arcade in Concord and played pins for about 3 hours. And we'll talk about that here in a minute. But I was over there and I realized Troy's just about as OCD as me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because you were looking at that Toy Story. That Toy Story has, I looked at, 30,000 plays on it.
It looks perfect.
Perfect.
Yeah.
The shooter lane is so clean. It's ridiculous. Everything works. There's no issues.
Yeah, it's
beautiful. It's, and I'm like, yeah, people will be like, "Oh, I'm only buying a home use only." And I'm like, "No. Like, trust me. Like, I got a great deal on that game because it had a lot of plays, but it's perfectly fine."
He has a Godzilla Pro for sale right now. Smoking deal. Like,
oh, yeah.
$5,000.
Yeah.
It's got 20,000 plays on it. I bet it looks perfect.
I'm not positive, but I think it left.
Okay.
It just left.
Sorry,
yeah,
guys, it's gone.
Sorry. Yeah, but.
And it's gone.
Yeah, and he had a Mandalorian premium.
Yeah.
He had a Mandalorian premium, I think, which was originally, it was originally mine.
Okay.
And then it went, I think Ben had it for a while at home, and then it went to the arcade, and he had that up for a while, and that was, I think it's still there. He had that up for $6. It was a premium.
Wow.
It was a great deal on that game.
Don't sleep on these.
Yeah.
Especially if you know an operator is a really good operator like Troy is.
Yeah.
I mean, super, you know, those games work.
He cleans his games all the
time.
He plays them all the time after, you know, after the bar closes.
Yeah.
He has half, probably more than half the high scores on every game.
Yeah, super
so
good
he plays
player.
Them. Yeah.
Yeah, he knows how they should function, how they should operate. Yeah.
And he fixes stuff as soon as it goes wrong. Like right away.
He's on
if
top
the game's
of
off, he shuts it off.
Yeah.
And he'll be like, yeah, after we close, he's fixing all sorts of crap.
I would buy one of those in a heartbeat.
And
I mean, you're going to, you know, he's pricing them very fair,
you know,
so you're going to save some bucks there. It's,
yeah.
You know, there's a tip, kids.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not always, you know, there's games I buy new in box.
Sure.
I have no issue buying new in box on something I really want. On some of these other ones where I'm not sure if it's going to be a keeper or not, I'll pick them up secondhand. If it's got plays on it, it's fine. Again, because that kind of gets to our next topic, fixing games.
Mm.
So tell us how you got started fixing games.
Fixing games, let's see, after the Taxi Ghostbusters, you know, I was a full addict at that point. There's no 12-step program for this. It's once it
figure
has,
out how you can make more money to buy more
pins.
Yes, right?
Like how much side work can I do to buy more games? So I started buying like any System 11, any condition, just to buy it. And you know, at some point I've owned a lot of them, a lot of the System 11 catalog. And, you know, I would buy them out of storage units for a couple $100 just to see if I could make it work again.
Yeah.
And, you know, I did a Police Force in F-14, you know, on and on and on, these games that were really, you know, at the time I put more money than they were probably worth into it.
Yeah.
But the cost to the education was so valuable. Like, you know, an F-14 that would not light up at all, you know, MPU completely dead. And I'm, you know, learning how to use the Logic Probe and swap out chips and all that stuff.
I got a Logic Probe. I haven't busted that out because I keep buying newer games instead of older ones. But
yeah. It was through the crash course of just buying a broken System 11 and making it work again, which was super gratifying early on. I mean, you know, like to take something that had been in a storage unit for 15 years and it's acid damaged, and, you know.
Yeah,
and everything works, and you shop it out, and it plays great.
Clean it up, and now you know. I've known several people that have bought games. They're like, hey, it won't even turn on.
Yeah,
and they go through it, and sometimes it's something simple, and sometimes it's something really complex. But people are so willing to dump those games at fantastic prices.
Yeah. Yeah.
I never get those deals, but
you
come across them every once in a while.
Every once in a while,
but you can get burned by it too. Way deep into it.
You know, that F-14, I got way too deep in. Police Force turned out, you know, I probably broke even on that back in the day, but, you know, if you're willing to learn, don't be afraid to buy maybe the uglier game that's got some issues and just understand that, like, this is going to be a learning experience.
Yeah.
You're going to learn how to solder, you're going to learn how to diagnose some problems, but, you know, it's fun. Like, if you really love the games and you want to learn how to work on them, it's a really fun way to do it. Now, you don't see... Well, I mean, sometimes I still run across those. Like right now, I think if somebody wanted to do a cheaper restore type job or like a, you know, a hard top, I think a guy in Winston's got a Gorgar that, you know, he's got a hard top for, might have a few issues that, that you could work out. It's like 900 bucks. Yeah. I mean, you know, you get a little extra for the hard top if you wanted to throw that in. But, you know, that's a sub $2,000 learning experience.
Yeah.
And that's pretty hard to find in pinball, something under $2,000 that, that at the end would be a pretty nice game, you know.
Yeah.
Good starter game.
Yeah. The I learned my lesson with, like Flash Gordon. I bought a Flash Gordon and I got it at a really good price, so the playfield was whooped. And, and you couldn't get a playfield at that time. So playfield swap was out. And they made a hard top for it.
Okay.
So I ordered the hard top. And I actually put up a video on my website of the hard top and cabinet painting with the stencils and everything. Like, it was just slides. But, I mean, that was a great project to get through. It looked great when I got done. Star rollovers, if you ever need to replace those, they're expensive. And good luck finding them. Those are a pain in the ass. But I did that. And I was really happy with the way it came out. I painted the cabinet, did the stencils. And then I got it down here. I let it dry. I gave it plenty of time for the paint to dry on the cabinet.
Yeah.
I got it down here, and I went to go raise the play field for something. And this was before I had cabinet protectors. I scraped the paint off. And I had to repaint the inside of the cabinet.
Mm.
And I made like this little nest around the game down here. And I pulled off the paint. I sanded it down really gently. And I sprayed the side of the cabinet. And when I sold the game, I was like, hey, I'm giving you these cabinet protectors because you will scratch the sides. It's going to drive you nuts. But that was as soon as I got it done, I scratched it and I had to repaint it. But it was fun. I mean, you know, same thing with Funhouse. I bought that game with the intention of I'm going to fix some crap on this game because not everything's working. Right. And it taught me how to work on them.
Yeah. So. Yeah, it's those kind of broken, you know, games that really that's going to make you a much better. Well, even if you're not going to be a tech, like if you're not going to work on them for other people, but just yourself, like if something goes wrong, you can troubleshoot your way to the end of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, those completely broken games that will not turn on, there's nothing better than that, you know.
When you get them for $300, like just get it out of here.
Yeah.
And you're like, done, dude. All right, if this fails, I'll pull the playfield out, hang it on the wall,
right,
and then I'll just use the rest for parts.
Right. Even if it's nothing more than just a learning experience, you know, that it's worth the price of admission.
I've wanted to take a playfield out of an older game that's in like decent shape and just make a coffee table out of it and backlight it with LEDs.
Oh yeah,
I could totally do that. It'd be fun. I have to figure out where I'm going to put the coffee table.
Yeah, all the barcades that use the playfields for like bar tops and stuff.
Yeah.
Looks great.
Yeah, I love that stuff.
Yeah, that's great. But yeah, that's really how I got into starting to fix games. And then, you know, as you keep buying more and more equipment, and you know, we've got TV Ben's a great tech. I mean, you know, when you've got somebody like TV Ben or Matt Mandorano, that's a Carolina Pinball, you know, be nice to people like that.
Yeah.
Because as long as you don't badger them too much, they'll answer some questions here and there for you. And they're really great resources.
I get excited when I can figure stuff out on my own. But I'm not beyond asking for help.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you know, I'll reach out to you sometimes and stuff. I'll reach out to TV Ben, Troy.
Yeah,
Troy. You know, I don't know if I've reached out to Mandarin or anything. I know I've reached out to Dave, the Oracle.
Yeah.
You know, he's well, hopefully we'll get, I don't know if we can get, hopefully we'll get Dave on an episode soon, but he's got like the menus for all those like WPC games or Williams. Like, he hasn't memorized. I called him one day asking him about like a flipper that was messed up. And he starts rattling off all this stuff. And he's like, oh, yeah, check this, check that, check this on the backboard. It's this number. And he's rattling all this off. And I'm like, Dave, are you looking at the manual? I'm like, how'd you get them? And he's like, no, I'm at Disneyland right now with my kids. I'm like, dude, is this from memory?
Yeah.
And I'm over here thinking, he's like, yeah, no, it should be this. And sure enough, that's, I'm like,
wild.
Damn,
yeah, he was spot on. I don't have that kind of memory.
It was pretty awesome. Yeah. So, but yeah, Dave's also an electrical engineer. He's an electrical engineer and a nuclear engineer, I think. So he's you met David.
That's a simpleton stuff.
Yeah, it's easy stuff. Yeah, this is, he's like, oh, I'm so bored.
Yeah,
but I'm going to help.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, you know, the fixing games, you just kind of got to, I keep harping on it, and that's why I do all my videos. Like, just lift the play field, get cabinet protectors, order them. Pinball Life has them. They're like $30. You'll use them all the time. Protects the artwork, protects the cabinet. Raise the play field. Take a look around. You know, it's not as scary as you think, especially on the new games. The older ones, there's a lot more wires, a lot more connectors. The new ones,
yeah,
there's a lot of plug-and-play parts down there with the boards, or at least with the boards. So, all right. Next on the list is pinball designers.
Okay.
All right. Who are some of your favorites? I'm going to put you on the spot with this one.
Yeah, you know, I think early on, Lawler was probably my favorite, you know, getting into the hobby. Twilight Zone was like the grail game, you know, when I got into the hobby.
Adams was my first.
Yeah.
First game, Lawler.
So, you know, he had an amazing run from Banzai all the way up to Twilight Zone. You know, really just a really great run of games.
Laundry's done, by the way.
Oh, good.
Pretty good. Perfect.
Yeah. You know, Lawler early on. And then probably, you know, I really, who doesn't love the Elwin stuff? I mean, he's had a tremendous run at Stern so far. It's just one hit after another.
Yeah.
So love his stuff. But really, you know, Borg to me has been, he's just always, you never count him out, you know. And I know Metallica just came out and that was an older design. But it's fantastic, you know, just in the new packaging and everything. But, you know, Rush is one of my favorite games by far. I'm a little biased because I like the band so much, but I think it's a great game. I think the layout's really good.
Borg's like a UFC champion, man. He's gonna beat your ass.
I mean,
in your games, he's gonna put a whooping on you, but you get better.
You know, Walking Dead. I just think he's really consistent. Now, like Turtles is brutal. And it's really because my eyes can't move fast enough to keep up with the ball. It's more of me problem.
Is that what my problem is?
Yeah, it's
too?
Your problem,
it might be my
too.
Problem.
Go get LASIK.
Yeah.
It's not Borg's fault. It's my fault. My human senses can't keep up with the speed of his layout. But
Tron, man.
Yeah.
I told you when I replaced the disc, I bought that from TV Ben. I bought that Tron Pro. And the disc was coming up in like I think the disc had started coming up or it was a little worn and I'm like, I'm just gonna replace it. That was an endeavor. Like I took it out, but I got scraping it off of there. It took me a long time, but I got the disc off of there. I put a new one on and for the first 2 weeks, my God, it was like a Nolan Ryan fastball
awesome.
Every time it went in there and it'd hang and you'd see it roll from the back onto the disc and it was like, wham.
Yeah.
Like there's a couple clips that I think I put up on Twitch where I'm like, I barely saw the ball.
Yeah.
And it was gone.
That's
like,
something.
Yeah.
Those
discs, man. When he puts a disc in a game, I'm like, oh, shit.
Yeah,
here we go.
Yeah. Get some down-the-middle fly balls at you.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I love his games, though.
Yeah, I like Borg a lot. You know, and obviously, you know, Eddie's done some great games. I mean, The Shadow, his first game, is still one of my favorites. Who could really argue with Medieval or Attack? You know, you know, Dan Langelis, who's a kind of unknown, did Radical. You know, he did some really interesting designs.
Every time I hear that name, I think of the Langoliers.
And I'm not even sure I'm pronouncing it right. I could be totally butchering his name.
Maybe it's Langoliers.
Yeah, Langoliers, Langoloid. I don't know. But yeah, he, you know, I really dig that some of his stuff in the 80s. I don't think all of it worked, but I think he had a lot of really interesting design choices. And what was odd, they were all low production games. Like, you don't see hardly any of them ever.
And you were nice enough to loan me that Radical when you had
it.
What happened to that? Did that go to Chris? That didn't go to Chris at High End Pins, did it?
No.
That was Whitewater, right? Was it your Whitewater you loaned me went to Chris, I think.
Maybe. And I think a Whirlwind went down there. I sold. The customer just took it straight to Chris, you know, dropped it off. But that Radical did not, but... Yeah, I wouldn't mind having another Radical, but, you know, sometimes the prices of some of these games get to a point where there's not enough game there for me to hold it, you know. And
I can't pay $10,000 for Indiana Jones.
Right.
Can't do it.
Yeah, I mean, mentally. Some people can,
And
that's great, but, like, and part of it, I think, is, like, we're still living in, you know, the 6-7 year ago time.
Right.
Like, you know, people told me I was crazy for paying, like, $6,000 for Twilight Zone when I did. But it's a really nice Twilight Zone. At the time, I probably could have got one that was in, you know, mediocre shape for $4.45 or something. But I wanted a really nice one.
Yeah.
And $6,000, you're crazy. You know, I remember So it's part of it is, you know, we're having a little bit of revisionist memory about, like, you know, White Waters being cheap or Indiana Jones. I remember when it hit $7,000 and I thought that was too much. And I would probably chew my arm off to buy one for $7,000 in good condition now. But it is what it is. It's whatever you value that game at.
Right.
The market will decide. I mean,
right.
You know, if
people... But like, I believe Thunderbirds is worth a maximum of $2,800.
Sure, yeah. And you're probably not far off, you know.
But I can't find one anywhere, man.
Yeah.
I swear. Just let it happen. I'm only allowed to mention that game 3 times on stream. After that, I have to shut up.
You have to stop. Yeah. I mean, I think some of the used prices on the Sterns right now are really good deals. I mean,
I've seen some sub-5 Stern Pros.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude.
I just bought a Turtles sub-5. I mean.
Did you buy it?
Yeah.
I didn't. Yeah.
Yeah.
I forgot to ask you if you bought it.
So, I mean, that's crazy.
That's a great deal for that.
You know, unless you're really just, you want the nostalgia and you're paying for that.
Yeah.
If you're actually talking about like core gameplay, a lot of people, you know, well, the Pro doesn't have a toy in it. Well, System 11 games didn't really have much toys in them.
Yeah.
They're kind of one trick pony, you know, get the jackpot type situation, get multi-ball, get jackpots.
Yeah.
So like.
But the code's deep on those Pro games.
Yeah. That's what I mean.
Which is awesome. It's going to last a long time.
You're getting a lot of bang for your buck for what. You know, some of these older games are costing now, so the used Stern market's a really good value right now.
And they're pretty, for the most part, they're pretty. I don't know if bulletproof is the right word, but every once in a while something will happen.
Yeah.
But I mean, compared to
everybody
out there, they do really good, and there's less to go wonky on the Pros.
Yeah,
which is kind of nice.
There is.
I have an Iron Maiden Pro and love it. I have no reason to upgrade.
Oh yeah.
To it, you know, there's games where it's worth it.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's worth it, but you know, like Godzilla, I had a premium of that, but I'm like, man, if that building ever broke, like, it's gonna be fun getting in there.
Yeah,
but you know, you take stuff off the playfield. I've taken off the fishing reel on Jaws, like I've messed with that, and so
most of the Stern games now they're pretty, you know, the design's pretty smart. It's pretty easy to get most of the stuff off and on, but the Pros are about as bulletproof as a pinball machine's ever going to be.
I'm just waiting for that day when Stern starts Molexing coils and Molexing targets to where if something goes wrong, you can buy a target with the lead already on it.
Yeah.
That would be pretty awesome.
Yeah. You know, Pulp Fiction, a lot of it's Molexed under the hood.
Yeah.
Which I was kind of surprised. I don't know.
Alien, Pinball Brothers Alien. I showed you the bottom of that playfield. It was clean.
Yeah.
It was, the boards were thin. Like, it was clean. If you needed to replace a switch... like a target on the top, you take out the screw, you unplug it, it's labeled on the board where it goes.
Wow.
You just unplug it and, you know, they send you a new one and it's got the lead already on it. And you just put it in, you plug it in.
You know,
it doesn't get it easier than that.
Yeah, there is a cost to, you know, Molexing everything. I mean, it does add up over the course of
the machine. Referring to the tools to Molex each pin individually that are like $150?
You're right.
Oh, that kills me.
You know, for them buying it in bulk, obviously it probably wouldn't be too bad. But,
yeah.
I mean, there is a cost there. I mean, like, you know, if I do a playfield anymore, I Molex it. You know, I don't even consider not doing it.
Yeah.
It just looks amazing.
It looks good. And, you know, if it goes south, you know, like, and some, I dislike heavily soldering coil leads on in tight spaces when it's in the game. I'm like, man, I just go through and be like, you know what, I'm just going to put Molex connector on this and I'm gonna solder on a lead onto the coil before I even put it in the game, and then you're good. Much easier.
There's a company called Remington Wire that you can buy bulk rolls of wire, and they'll even, you can order color coded if you wanted to. But you know, I keep all your basic colors for Williams, like, on hand, both sizes, whether it's for a coil or a switch.
Yeah,
you know. And if I really want to color code it, I'll take a paint pen and add the stripe, you know. And so I'll solder on new wire, Molex it, and then Molex the other side of the harness, and bang, you're good to go.
It's a lot of work. I'll tell you, man, when I build the shield mods for Godzilla, my hands, by the end of the day, I usually do a batch of 20 at a time when I build them, and man, my hands are cooked from getting that thing all the way down and then release it.
Yeah,
do it
ratchet. Yeah, it does after a while. Sorry, I think we got off topic.
Well, oh, no, it's my fault. So, love of PC games. WPC
games. Yeah.
You like PC games too, but we're talking WPC. So,
yeah.
Where did that come from?
And I think after the System 11 stuff, you know, the next place you go is WPC.
Yeah.
That's the next generation board set.
What years, roughly? I always forget. Like, we talk about this.
Technically, Funhouse is a WPC, like, 89.
Yeah, 89.
You know, so it's an early WPC.
So is that, like, the 95, 96?
Yeah. Yeah, well, there was revisions along the way. So, you know, let's just call it 90 to, like, 99 to Cactus Canyon was, like,
so for anybody who's watching, give us some examples of a bunch of WPC games we get an idea.
Yeah, Starting Funhouse, Twilight Zone Shadow, Medieval Madness, Addams Family, Attack from Mars. Those are all WPC games, but
Monster Bash a WPC?
Oh, yeah. Anything. They're all WPC, but then, you know,
there's just some great games in the WPC.
Yeah, the later games are WPC 95. The, you know, the mid games are the WPCS securities, and then there's the DCS.
See, those are the ones that I don't even know what games are, the WPS or the security one. Like,
yeah, Shadow's in there. I think Johnny Mnemonic's in there.
Is it? Okay. Yeah.
So, you know, I think Williams kind of got to a point, and there was revisions along the way, little updates like the DCS sound system,
yeah,
like that started with Indiana Jones. So it changed a little bit for that. But really, that board set, it just kind of makes logical sense the way it's all separated.
Yeah.
Maybe I just got really used to working on it, but, you know, you got a dot matrix display. The games just kind of took on a better life. You know, there was more wizard modes. There's more to do in the games.
Some good, really good themes, too.
Great themes. You know, even the unlicensed themes are really good, you know, or they're kind of classic now.
Yeah.
But, I kind of got to a point where I really enjoyed them, and at a certain price point, I thought they were like a really good value.
They took off like a rocket ship.
They did.
Yeah. You know, and I'm like, you and I talk about it, I'm like, yeah. I mean, like, dude, if I can get a Whitewater for $5,000, I'm all in.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll get it. If I have 55.
It's a great game.
Maybe.
And I know, like, right before the pandemic, I sold that one for, I think it was 55. And if I would have just waited. But,
yeah.
You know, time in the market.
I'll tell you, man, it's so stupid, but every time you hit that whoop-de-whoop ramp and the pinball hits the glass, I'm like, there it is.
Yeah.
Just such a good feeling hitting that ramp.
Definitely.
And hitting the whirlpool. Oh, just watch it go around.
Oh,
it's a great game.
If you can get all three in a row, you know, down in Sanity Falls, it's like the best day ever.
Yeah. It's a fun game. I really enjoyed it. I should have bought that from you. I should have bought it from you, and I would have dressed it up. And there's some great games in there. I'm a little bad about, like, kind of the systems, you know, the following the systems. I really need to sit down and do some research on it and learn which games are, like, which systems.
Yeah,
you know?
I think, you know.
System 11, you know, you got your WPC, you got your Pinball 2000s. There's only a couple of those, right?
Yeah, two, I guess. Yeah.
Was it Star Wars and Revenge from Mars?
Yeah.
Troy's got both of those at the arcade.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, and he swapped out... He put a monitor in one of them, an LCD in there, and then he did like the film for the screen, and he did something to the other one to brighten it up, and they looked really good.
Yeah, I actually like both of those. You know,
it's just such a weird looking cabinet.
It is a weird cabinet. Yeah.
It's like an arcade machine and a pinball machine had a baby, and you're like, oh, this is interesting.
Yeah,
but moving them when they have monitors in them,
they are heavy. God, they're heavy.
Yeah, but it was cool that you could switch out the play fields.
Super good. Yeah. I mean, I think they were going in the right direction for, like, where the arcade market was.
Yeah.
It was just too late, you know.
Yeah.
And on top of that, I don't think anything was going to... You know, it's not that Williams, I think, was, like, unprofitable. I think it just compared to slot machines.
Yeah.
The company was like, why are we still doing
this?
Dude,
is anything profitable compared to slot machines? Like,
not,
seriously.
Yeah. So, I love that generation, you know, that last 10 years of Williams. You know, and as I kind of go through fits where I'm really obsessed, you know, I'm looking for them. And then I go back to, like, modern, you know.
He'll call me and be like, hey, man, you need to talk me off the ledge.
Oh, yeah.
That's how we start those conversations.
Yeah.
Like, all right, what's going on?
Yeah.
And we strip it down to, like, is this just, like, an impulse buy? Is it a good deal? You know, why do you want the game? How many times you had that game?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
oh, yeah.
What are you going to do with it after you get, like, these? We go through all this stuff because, you know, at these price points, like.
Yeah. You need to have somebody in your corner that's like, hey, man, you've had it once, or, you know, or, you know, if you're going to get it, you're going to, like, you know.
Every once in a while you'll call and I'll be like, dude, that's a great deal. I would buy that
if
it was me. And I'd figure it out later.
Right.
You know, like.
Yeah. There's some of those where it's like, it's a no brainer.
Yeah.
You know, but. There's other times where you're really vying for something that you should probably just wait.
I wanted turtles. I was looking. There were some that popped up in the sixes, you know, and I'll tell you the best thing I did was I just sat on the money that I had from another game. I just sat on it for a long, that's the longest I've ever sat on pinball money.
Yeah.
And, you know, go to the auction, got a great deal on turtles. Super happy about that. I'll tell you though, after I bought the game at auction, nobody else bid. I'm like, and it was the fourth out of like 53 pins for sale. And I'm like, I just blew my wad on the fourth game. Like, oh my God. And there's games I want down at the end. Yeah. And I had a little bit of a like panic moment.
About 45 seconds.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh my God, what am I bought that game, you know? And Eric from Radioactive Pinball was there with Aaron. And I was talking to them for a while. They're Radioactive Pinball. Is that Aiken? I think it's Aiken.
Maybe. Yeah.
And anyways, he just leans over and he taps me on the shoulder. He's like, hey man, sweet. And I looked at him like, yeah, dude, I'm pretty excited. And I looked at Ben. I'm like, I'm excited, dude, but did I just fuck up? You know, like,
there's a whole row of games.
Like, yeah. I'm like, what am I going to do if another one's really cheap that I want too? Cause I wanted Avengers and I wanted Turtles.
Yeah.
And Walking Dead. And they had all three of them there. Yeah, Walking Dead. I told you the screen was out. The audio board was out. Like it needed work. Right. And I set my price point and I stuck to it and it went a little higher. I was fine. Right. And I thought, oh, well maybe one day. Right. So I ended up with Turtles, the Avengers I wanted went way too high. I didn't get, Simpsons Pinball Party, but I had decided, hey, if I can get a game really cheap, I'll figure it out. I'll make it work.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
You know, if I got to throw it on a credit card or something, I will,
yeah.
And I'll take care of it. But yeah, so I got that game. I walked out of there. I was pretty stoked. And then 9 days later, I end up with a Walking Dead for way below what I wanted to pay for. I'm like, this is great. So you never know. If I hadn't sat on that money and stuck to my guns, like I would have, I'd either not have it or I would have spent too much money.
Sure. Yeah. And I think that's the case with the used market right now, especially the feeding frenzy has kind of died down. And, you know, I've kind of set some guidelines on certain areas of games or games I want. Like,
yeah.
If something in the WPC library that I'm kind of looking at hits in the threes, I just snag it.
Yeah.
You know, now
figure it out later.
Yeah. Because, and people are like, where are you finding it? It happens. Like but you better have the money ready. You better have a cash in an envelope and ready to hit the road.
Yeah.
Now is it every week? No.
No.
It's, you know, once a year, maybe.
Every once in a while I go through like a pinside detox where I'm like, I ain't looking at the market for like 2 weeks. Just going to I don't want to be tempted.
You know, there's
anything.
Also times with like Jaws where the used market's still very good on it. You're better
his
off.
His games have held value really well.
I wouldn't even bother. I mean, I would just call Zach at Flipping Out, have it delivered to your door.
Yeah.
And not drive 5 hours.
Yeah. That's the thing. I did an 8-hour run down to Orlando for Wizard of Oz, Emerald City. Beautiful game, right? 16 hours. I did it all in one day. And I got home and I was like, I don't think I'm ever doing that again. Unless it's like a great, like if I could buy a Big Lebowski for $8,000 and I had to drive to Missouri, I'd be like, dude, whatever. I'll fly out. I'll rent a car and drive home. It's still cheaper than what I get. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
But
well, that was like, you know, the labyrinth that's over here. You know, I knew I wanted to play the game, but I also knew that I wasn't going to keep it. You know, it's not like a dream theme. It's an expensive game.
Yeah.
And that's the thing when these games for me, when they hit a certain price threshold,
it better be damn good.
It better check every box.
Right.
You know,
right.
And as soon as it doesn't, you're out the door.
Now,
I can justify having something like Johnny Mnemonic, you know.
The price point on it, it's not a bad price point.
No.
And you get a lot of game for it. And it's fun.
Yeah. It's a lot of game for $3,000, $3,500, whatever.
Yeah. That one at auction went nuts.
Yeah. That's great. Yeah. You never know at the auction.
Right.
But, you know, for that price point, the game doesn't have to check every box for me.
Right.
But yeah, when you're $10,000, you better be crushing.
Yeah, I get a lot pickier when I start talking new in box premium price games. You know, that $9,000 and above, I'm just like, okay, I better really be excited about this one.
Yeah, once it hits the five digits, $10,000 or above, and that's
tough.
Why I waited to pick that one up used because I really wanted to play it, but.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to spend over 10, you know, to be able to experience it at home. And because I know I'm not going to keep it, you know.
So speaking of Labyrinth, one of the notes I have here is kind of tips, tactics for beating games. So Matt it gets pretty tactical with these games. You know, you've beat Lord of the Rings, made it to Valinor. Rush?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 2112.
You went through 2112, didn't you, the whole game? You went through all of Rush?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, and I've watched Matt play, and, like, you're right, we were talking about it earlier. You start slowing the game down, you start aiming your shots, you start looking. I'm playing on the fly, and I know I would play better and get through more shit if I would just calm down, but I just like playing like that.
No, it is fun. Like, and I catch myself doing it all the time where I'm nailing shots, and then I'm not a sharpshooter. You know, Carl at IE Pinball, ridiculous.
Right.
I mean, he's got like laser precision. Now he slows games down, but also too, like he can hit multiple shots in a row, and he's got those shots on lock.
Yeah.
I mean, he, like, you watch him play Labyrinth, he will hardly ever miss the left or right ramp or the worm shot behind the flipper. Ridiculous. I mean, just absolutely crazy. Like, I have to really slow it down to like like Hooked on Phonics, like level playing pinball. Like, I have to slow it way down to be able to do these things. Like, you know, Valinor took me 3 months, and every day I would come home, I would make a run for it, lose, and then finally one day I pull it off. You know, but that's like all I played for 3 months because it was such a goal, you know, to be able to do that.
See, I get scared sometimes. I had Foo Fighters, and again, I will preface this by saying the wizard mode was not in the game yet. But I got it when it first came out, and I played through all the content, right? And I knew I had money tied up in the game. People were still looking for it. It was a good time to sell. And I'm like, okay, is there enough for me to keep this? Knowing that I just got to do what I did again and just play the wizard mode.
Right.
You know? And so for me, I moved that on, but I went at that game for like 2 weeks straight.
Yeah.
It was all I played, like a couple hours, you know, probably an hour or two a day.
Yeah.
And I kind of burned myself out on it.
You will. That's the problem with doing that.
I've had this since, what, like March?
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't really gone at this game yet. And I want to play it. I will sit down at some point and play it a little more frequently. But I'm not going to go at it hardcore with the intention of trying to beat it in a week. Because I get burned out on the game.
It kills the game sometimes.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, it really does. Like, I've kind of ruined Lord of the Rings forever because I did that.
Maddox played it yesterday at the basement. He was all excited because he was missing Return of the King to destroy the ring. He never destroyed the ring, but he almost did it in the arcade yesterday.
Yeah.
And dude, that kid hasn't played pinball in like 7 months. I'm like, if he would just play, he's actually really good.
Yeah, could you imagine like having his reflexes and stuff and applying them?
Yeah.
No, it does. It does kind of burn you out on the game.
Yeah.
Like, and I did that with this one. I actually planned on doing it with this one.
Yeah. Like, I'm gonna play it. I'll probably be here. I'm guessing probably a month, maybe a little more. But yeah. I'm gonna play the daylights out of it and go through it, see what I like, what I don't like, and do what I can.
It's tough.
Yeah.
It's,
I was joking. That's 3 brutal games this month.
Yeah,
Walking Dead, Turtles. It's a brutal December around here.
Yeah, but I guess back to the, you know, the thought of getting to wizard modes and things like that. For me, you know, I don't really love tournaments that much. You know,
I'm not.
I've played in some. I've
tell myself I don't enjoy that atmosphere that much.
Yeah.
But the reality of it is, like, I like modes.
Yeah.
I like playing through games and content. I think it goes back to video games. Mm-hmm. Like Super Mario, like, I want to beat it.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't care if I get a zillion points or I get 10 points. I want to beat the content. I want to go through the whole story. So I've always been like that with video games. So when I get into those games, that's what I want to do. But in tournaments, my brain's like, okay, I want to play the game and get through it. But I'm like, no, what do I do to score the most points?
Right.
And that's where I kind of... Yeah, I don't enjoy that as much.
I love seeing all the people.
My way of saying I suck.
I love seeing all the people. I'm the kind of person that has to sit on a game for a minute before I get locked in.
Yeah.
Like, there's people that can bounce from game to game and they're really pretty consistent. Like, yeah, they're not killing everyone, but they're consistent.
Yeah.
I'll go from like beginner suck to like pretty competent.
Yeah.
If I can just sit on that one game for a couple games, and I really almost have to get the shots like baked into my brain. Where I'm not having to think about what I'm shooting next. I know every shot of the mode. Yeah. I have to know everything, you know,
yeah.
like because I'm really not that good of a player. But, you know, it's the memories.
When you know what to do and what comes next and yeah. what makes sense, that's Izzy's fantastic at that. He starts picking up like his Batman 66.
Izzy's actually a really good shooter too.
Yeah.
That's the thing is like Izzy is a good player just regardless. But he also does those things that he blows.
He picks it apart and figures yeah. out like when he does the stack right on Batman 66
oh,
and he starts ripping the spinners and he's getting a billion a spin.
Yeah.
Like I'm like, dude,
the
really?
Screen just stops working.
Yeah.
I mean, you know,
yeah. It's insane.
Yeah. So I think for me, it goes back to what you just said with the old video games. Like I grew up in the NES generation and you know, those games are brutally hard. You had to memorize the levels.
Yeah.
You know, like Ninja Gaiden, you know, the first two especially.
I made maps for Phantasy Star.
Yeah, yeah.
like squares.
Yeah, yeah, I mean,
I'm like, how many things? Don't go here because you'll fall through the level.
Right.
Like I drew maps as a kid to get through the game.
Yeah, you know, all those older games were just a war of attrition and memorization. So yeah. like, that's how I go to these games is like, I really enjoy seeing all the content
yeah.
and beating them. You know, that's my favorite thing to do in pinball outside of fixing them. If I'm actually just playing the game, that's what I want to do.
I'm going to get Last Man Standing.
Yeah, you can do it.
Yeah, you did it.
Yeah.
he did it. He sent me the video when he did it. I was like, damn. Brutal.
That's a game that if you get into a rhythm,
yeah,
it's totally possible.
You start stacking stuff in that game, it blows up quick.
Yeah, well, the part that is always the make or break getting to Last Man Standing for me was... If you're stacking, you know, Bloodbath with Well Walker,
yeah,
and maybe you've already played Prison or whatever, and you're working your way through the modes and you're trying to stack enough walkers up to get to that 120 or whatever,
yeah,
it's the second time around. If you can survive the second time around of stacking Bloodbath and Well Walker with modes, you'll probably get there,
yeah,
but those drop targets are in your way again. So if you survive it the first time without losing a ball.
Those drop targets are mean. I always pick, when I pick them in, I get the middle and I get the top one. And it's always the bottom one where if you're just off, it hits the rubber and it goes straight down the drain.
Yeah,
so mean.
And the other caveat is like playing the multi-balls well, maybe holding off on Well Walker till that last hit to save both
to drop,
of them.
Yeah, to save both of them. I've done that before
just
where I'm like, I'm gonna wait. I'm gonna wait because I know I'm going to screw this up. And if I can hit that real quick, I'll get everything back.
Yeah.
I love it when they do that. You're like, I cheated the system.
For sure. Yeah, it's going out the out lane, and you.
Yeah,
you
drill
so satisfying.
Yeah, so with that, so I was kind of talking tactics setups.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, this is one thing I slap my games around. I move them. My tilts are pretty loose. Everybody who watches me stream knows that. That's how I like to play. I enjoy playing like that. You know, and I say this all the time. Set your game up how you want. It's your game. You know, if you have it in the house, set it up how you want. And you mentioned something where you'll go out a game and you'll play it with a really, you know, a loose tilt setting.
Yeah.
And then if you get through it, then you'll tighten it up. And then you go back and you'll play it again, which I think is interesting because most people will be like, oh, well, we got to set the tilt bob and that's it. But I learned how to nudge slap games, even death save. Sorry, Izzy. Because I kept the tilt pretty loose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I death save, I get two warnings,
right?
Like, which is fair.
Right.
When you death save and you get one, I'm like, it's probably too loose. But setting it up with different tilt bob settings is nice. You nailed it. We were talking one day and Matt just told me, he was like, some of it kills the enjoyment. Like a really tough tilt setting, you won't see a lot of the content. You know, and that's what makes these games awesome is the content.
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, there's a lot of locations that are set up for tournaments.
Right.
And the tilts are tight. The outlanes are up. There's phenomenal players that play at these locations that have never seen Visitor Center.
Yeah.
They've never seen Visitor Center.
Yeah, they'll blow the game up score-wise.
And it's like Visitor Center is an amazing moment in that game.
Yeah.
You know, but there's no extra
Raptors,
balls on.
Little Raptors,
you know,
little punks.
lots
of Raptors.
Everything's
bastards.
Off. So, like, take that game, for instance. Like, you know, say you bought it brand new in the box.
Yeah.
And you left the tilt loose, and you're like, I'm getting to Visitor Center every time. You know, maybe tighten the tilt up, open the outlane a little bit. Like, you know, Rush LE shipped with the outlanes down.
Yeah.
From the factory,
yeah.
right? Which a lot of LEs, I think they're doing that now just because probably want to make it a little more enjoyable for the people that spent a ton of money.
$13,000.
Yeah. So, so the outlanes are all the way down. When I first started playing it, 2112 wasn't in the game. Yeah. Right. But I was getting, like, I was knocking on its door all the time. Right. Yeah. So I'm like, you know, these games are running pretty long. Let me tighten the tilt up. Okay, I'm still going pretty deep here on this thing. You know, it's I'm worried that I'm going to get bored with it because the games are running so long.
Right.
So I opened the outlanes up, you know, left the tilt kind of medium. You know, I'm not getting away with a death save, but a good slap save. Yeah, yeah. I'm not taking danger.
Yeah.
You know, so my recommendation to people is set up to where it's fun for you.
Right.
I mean, you know, if you out of the box, I mean, while you're learning the game, leave the tilt a little bit loose. You'll get away with some more nudges. If you're getting to 4th of July every time in Jaws,
yeah,
tighten it up.
I haven't played that mode yet.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
I haven't played the mode yet. That's how much I've been like, I really like that game, and I don't want to go at it too much because I don't want to ruin that experience.
Yeah.
Like, I'm having fun on it. Every time I walk over and play, I'm like, I want to play again. I want to play again. I don't want to get to be like, I don't want to play this again.
You know, that Twilight Zone, I kind of made it to where it was pretty hard. Because, like, I didn't want to see Lost in the Zone every game. You know, I wanted to like, okay, if you are nailing the scoops, you know, and you're playing everything and you're hitting your shots, you'll get there. But if, you know, it takes some practice to get to that point. So most of the games on it are just, you know, destruction.
Yeah.
You're just getting murdered, you know.
I'll tell you, that was one of my proudest moments in pinball is, like, when I put up that $3 billion and I got lost in the zone twice in a game, and that tilt setting was exactly where you left it, and I was felt better than beating Deadpool, to be honest.
I mean, it's what it's fair. It's not super tight, but it's fairly tight.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not. It's,
and I ain't death saving on that thing either. So Izzy, you can't say anything about me death saving on Twilight. Think so, I'll throw my shoulder out.
That's my recommendation, and I understand, like, for a lot of people, and me included, sometimes that when you beat a game, it's kind of the death kiss. It goes out the door. You know, you're done with it.
Yeah.
But I find that, like, some of the best games or your favorite games, it's like, you know, I still like playing it, you know, and I want to keep it. Why, just make it harder. You know, like at that point, make it harder. I don't think it cheapens the game any that, you know.
No, it's just, there's more, you know, there's a better sense of satisfaction, so to speak, when you beat the game and it's hard, set up harder when the outlanes are outlanes are up and
just
the tilt's,
like,
tight.
How many people play through a video game on normal the first time and then increase the difficulty?
Me.
Yeah,
I never go like rookie where everything the monsters run away, but like, I'm gonna play through it on normal, and then I'm gonna play this, and then I try nightmare mode. I'm like, this is ridiculous, it's not even fun.
Sure.
Right. So it's too far.
Yeah, I mean, you know, back in the day, I remember when we saved up our money. Me and my brother bought Double Dragon 2 on the NES.
Oh, yeah.
And we played the crap out of it.
Yeah.
Right. But we were playing it on, like,
Normal,
but they called it, like, Warrior or something. Yeah. Anyway.
Master.
Like, in that game, it lets you go to the very last stage, and then it stops. Until you play it on the hardest difficulty.
Oh, that's
brutal. Then you can finish it. Or, or like, the next to hardest difficulty. And I always, like, thought about that of, like, well, that's kind of interesting, you know. So, like,
you got there. Now it's time for you to step, put your big boy pants on.
So, like, you could even do that. You could say, I don't want to see the wizard mode until it's set up pretty modern.
Right.
You know, just drain the ball and cut the game off. I mean,
I pull glass on games, and I need to do this on Josh. I pull the glass on games. And I won't run any wizard modes or anything, but I'll pull them and I will figure out, I will manipulate stuff.
See what it does.
And see how it works. Because when I see it, then it stays in my brain. And I'm like, okay, that's how this works. So then I can start putting all the pieces together. I just have to do that with games.
Yeah.
Especially the new ones. Because there's a lot going on.
I kind of just trial by fire learned, just experienced it as I played it. But there's some games where there's some rules that are kind
of the new ones. I usually need to pull, like, Turtles. I'll pull the glass at some point just to see how a couple of things I don't understand yet work.
Exactly. There's certain things that are a little more convoluted that would be easier to understand if you just triggered it.
Yeah.
And I totally get that. Like, there's, like, I know Avengers, when I had it, I was like, I have no idea what this, I
the
can't
box,
tell you what the grid does now
to this day.
At the time, that I knew what a lot of it did. And gems where, like, how that would help, you know.
Yeah.
But I did not retain that information. I could not like recite it now, you know.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's see. We're rolling on an hour already, Whoa. Man. It's so easy to talk.
Yeah.
It's well, like this is our normal conversations, man.
If you want to laser through the last rounds, we can do that.
Yeah, we'll get it. So I was going to ask you real quick too, play field angles.
Mm.
So
same thing. I mean, you know, play around with it. I usually start them at about on sterns, newer sterns, 6.6, 6.7.
Yeah.
Some of the L ones play really good at 7. Yeah. Like Jurassic plays great at 7.
Yeah. I don't want to touch mine because the O shot is awesome.
I wouldn't breathe on it. Yeah. It's just,
I'm not doing anything to mess with that O shot.
No, I mean, like, you know, I think some of the L one stuff's really good at 6.8 or 7.
Yeah.
If
of the spooky games play better at steeper angles.
Yeah. That labyrinth out of the box played better steeper.
So what am I setting that thing up at?
You could set it up lower now that it's a little more broken. Initially, until I did a lot of adjustments, it had to be at 7.
Yeah.
Just because the ball needed.
Yeah. Like, that. I'll probably go 6. I like 6.7. 6.7 is like the magic number
it's
for me,
fine
I think.
There. That's kind of where I had it before I moved.
Okay,
it. But,
cool.
Yeah, the older games, I find I like them a little bit steeper anyway. Like,
yeah.
I think Twilight Zone's probably just a bit steeper than 6.5 or 6.6.
Yeah.
And it depends on the game. Like, you know, Johnny Mnemonic waxed is pretty fast. So, like, you may want to...
Johnny Mnemonic not waxed is fast.
Corvette, yes. You know, the game before Jeez. That was really fast. So,
yeah.
I say play around with it. I mean, if you're wanting to if you're wanting to make it brutal, put it over 7. I mean, you
yeah.
know. I wouldn't go below 6.5 on anything,
no.
personally.
When I start getting rainbow floating ball again, I'm like, dude, I can't play this.
Yeah.
It's too much.
I wouldn't, you know.
Not fun.
I would say put 6.5 your minimum. That's probably going to give you some more control if you're having trouble trapping the ball or, you know, things
I'm
like that.
I'm going to put turtles at 6 and call it a day.
Yeah.
And then I hit the ramp and it flies into the back box.
Yeah, so that's kind of my take on pitch. It's a game-by-game basis. All these games are different. I mean, we could have another Jurassic right beside it, and for some reason it might just play faster.
Or you could have 3 Stranger Things and all of them play completely different.
Yeah.
Like me. All right, well, I'm going to kick it over to Playfield here in a second on the screen, and we're going to go through your favorite games. We still got hot takes and 10 pinball questions.
Ooh.
Yeah, we'll get through them quick, though. All right, so I'm going to kick it over here, and we got a little countdown going down. So I'm going to put up a game that I know is one of the games that Matt really loves. So I got a pretty good sense of the games you really like. So let's see. Shadow.
Ooh.
Is that a good one? I think this was actually the one you loaned to me. I've been having to find. I've been taking these off my stream.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I love the Shadow.
So real quickly, what do you like a lot about the Shadow?
You know, it takes like everything Brian did on Indiana Jones with like modes that are actually beatable but really hard to beat.
Yeah.
It's super fast, super brutal. There's not a ton of content to get through in the game.
Yeah.
But what's there is so good. And then actually beating the wizard mode final battle, hitting all the switches, is incredibly difficult. Yeah. Incredibly difficult.
You sure it's not the Translite? That's your favorite part? The original Translite?
I have the Arc one of mine.
I know you did.
I have to hide Alec Baldwin's face because after what happened, he's even creepier than before.
You got to ask the question now, too. How was your Sanctum?
It's
was it dirty?
It's so dirty. My Sanctum's blown out. My Sanctum is... No, yeah. I did redo the cabinet on mine, and I'm debating on whether to do the playfield at some
point. You just
point.
You need to make that game nice, and you need to keep it.
Oh, it's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Just
get it to where it needs to be.
It's been
make
in
it pretty, call it a day. Yeah.
You know, several times, and this last time I said that's it. You know, it just does everything I want from that generation of game.
Yeah.
It just
does
there. It. I love it. It's everything it's not a super long playing game. It's a really great game.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to do favorites. So I talked to Matt the other day and I said, hey, top 5 games. And he was like, whoa, 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 whoa. He's like, I got to do it by era.
Yeah.
So we're going to go through, we're going to go through starting with what, System 11?
Yeah.
Like kind of the 80s.
Yeah.
80s. We broke it down decades. 80s, yeah, 90s, 2000s, 2010s, 20s. So let's have 2 from each.
Yes. Yeah. So System 11, I would say.
So in the 90s, what's your.
Well, 80 to.
80, sorry,
we'll
80s.
We'll say 80 to 90.
Yeah.
We'll say Whirlwind and Radical.
Okay.
Those are my 2 favorites. You could make an honorable mention for, you know, Taxi and some of the other System 11 stuff, or even Funhouse. You know, technically Funhouse would be 1990.
Yeah, that was the last. That was the last game before DMDs took over, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, that or Party. No, Party's on. You're right. Yeah, that was pretty much the end. So, yeah. Anyway, I would pick Radical and Whirlwind. Whirlwind to me is, you know, the best players game of that era. The, you know, you kind of have a wizard mode with Superdoor or Supercellar or whatever.
Yeah.
That's cool. That's a thing to work towards, where most of the other System 11s are just the jackpots.
Yeah.
The cool thing about Whirlwind is how fun it is to get the jackpots.
Spinning discs, too.
Yeah, the spinning discs. That was cool. Like, if you have an example that you can backhand under the ramp and nail that side loop, it's super.
Yeah, when I remember when you changed the flipper rubbers, and then you couldn't do it with certain rubbers, and I'm like, I'm putting the old ones back.
Yeah. So,
90s. What about 90s?
Yeah, 90 to... let's say 2000, Shadow and Twilight Zone.
There you go.
Both
great.
I understand, you know, most people will say, like, Twilight Zone, it's not the best layout.
I love Twilight Zone. It's my favorite game from that time.
Yeah. There's something about, they nailed the theme integration so well. And I
wide body,
the show with
toys,
the
lots of toys, the magnets on the play, the mini play, the pyramid, playfield pyramid.
Yeah.
It's fun. The Powerball, dude. The gumball machine.
That's amazing. Yeah.
Like the clock. You got the piano back there. You have the pop bumpers with like a crazy drain rate. Like it's.
And here's the other thing, you know.
It's a kicker.
Most people say, well, it's nothing but a maintenance queen. How much maintenance have you done since it's been here?
I haven't touched that damn thing.
You haven't touched it?
Nope.
I did go through the game years ago before I dropped it off.
The clock. When I had mine, before when I sold it, but the clock. I bought the, what was it, Rotten Dog?
Yeah,
Rotten Dog. I bought the board for that for the clock because it would get out of sync and throw an error. But after that, dude, everything was great.
Yeah, I mean,
oh, the Powerball in the trough, one of
the proximity sensor. Yeah.
Those were the two things that I had to work on mine. That was it.
I think
easy.
I rebuilt the diverter and a couple other things on it when I got it.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's bulletproof ever since.
Yeah,
now
it's awesome.
Ran it on location, but to say that it's a maintenance queen is. It's kind of, you know, I don't, maybe on location it's problematic.
Hey, they remake that game like they're talking about, and people start buying it, they're going to be like, dude, this game's amazing.
Yeah.
Especially if they don't have to touch anything.
It's not a, you know, it's not the shooter's game. Shadow's
right.
The shooter's game. It's, you know, it's the toys and the theme that's why it's in my top two. There's a ton of other WPC games that are great, but for me, that's it. From
all
90
right.
to 2000.
All right, 2000, 2010, give me two.
Let's see. Lord of the Rings and Simpsons, I guess.
Lord of the Rings and Simpsons,
yeah.
Great ones.
Yeah.
All right, 2010 to 2020.
Walking Dead Pro and Jurassic Park.
There you go. I can't disagree with that
at all. You know,
those are fantastic.
So, so good. You know, Jurassic Park is probably my favorite layout even to this day. I mean, I'm not a huge fan of the movie or anything, but I know a lot of people complain about how hard... You know, it's probably his hardest shooter overall, but it's the most satisfying shooter. I mean, when you are on that game, you feel like a million
fun
bucks.
When stuff starts going down.
Yeah. And it has the best four-way combo of, like, almost any game ever.
When I stream that game, like, if I can get to Visitor Center, I'm super psyched. The other thing, if I don't get to Visitor Center, if I can get that four-way super secret skill shot, it like, and I'll do it every once. I'm like, it feels so good. You're like, oh, I'm a wizard. And then usually right after that, the ball drains.
Yeah.
You're like, at least I got the shot. I don't care.
That
stream's over.
Amazing.
Yeah.
When it came out, I drove to Tennessee to play it. It was the first place I got it. And I did the four-way. I did the four-way combo.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, I have to buy one. I got to order this.
Yeah. Now, 2020 and on.
Ooh. Right now, for me, Rush and Jaws.
Rush and Jaws,
yeah. That's my two favorites of the last few years. But, I mean, there's a lot.
I love Jaws. I don't regret getting that. I bought that new in box, and I don't regret it at all.
Yeah.
It's going to stay for a while.
I've
got
to get a premium. I had a pro on location for a while, but I love the premium.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, one of these days, I need to send that to your house. I need to have a go at it, get irritated with it, and then send it to you. and then we'll figure it out. And then you'll beat it in a week, and you'll be like, "Hey, you want me to send this back?"
I played it a lot when I had the pro, and man, I don't know what the requirement's going to be if you got to catch all the sharks to get to like the great white when it's in there, but that's a lot.
Yeah,
I mean, it's gonna
I'm still trying to get 4th of July. I just haven't gone at it. I need to. But all right, so let's see. That was favorite games, and now we're gonna do hot takes and 10 questions, and then we will we'll call it. Let's see. It's gonna take me a while to figure this out. We're going switching back to this one. Here we are. All right, hot takes. All right, give me two hot takes.
Two hot takes. Well, there's a Deadpool sitting just off camera here, and you know, I know people love Deadpool. I know it's already a classic in most people's eyes, but I never gelled with the game, and I think I would rather have like Black Knight more than Deadpool.
So like, Black, you like?
I would
Black
take a
Knight.
Black Knight Pro over a Deadpool.
Over
Pro.
Deadpool Pro.
Yeah.
What about a premium?
I don't like the.
You're not allowed to sell them. You can't get the money out of them.
You know, I would take the Black Knight Premium because Liz likes the premium.
I had the premium. I liked it.
She loves
fun.
When you can get the ball back if you can hit the lock.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she thought that was like, you know, that was the greatest thing ever. So
yeah.
The
good thing for me.
I know I'm in the minority there.
The good thing for me with that is I told Matt when I beat Deadpool. I was super pumped. I called him up and he's like, I've never beat that game. And I was like, oh shit, there it is. That's it. I've actually beat something you haven't beat. This is great. And you know, if you don't play it, I will have that forever over you. That one thing. So don't ever get one and don't ever play it.
Deadpool. You know, maybe it's because I haven't owned it. Like, you know, yeah. I played it a lot on location and I got to the point where it's like, I don't hate it.
Yeah.
I just never loved it. You know, it just never gelled with me.
Yeah. It's an approachable game. It's, you know, I don't think it's a super hard shooter. No. It's an approachable game.
Yeah.
You know, I like people getting into the hobby. I tell them, I'm like, Deadpool Pro, if you can get it at a great price, it's a great game to get. It's got humor. It's got some fun shots. It's got content. It's everything you want it to be. It's got great music. The custom soundtrack is awesome.
I don't know why. I just never, you know, I totally understand why it's the recommendation for people. Like, it makes complete sense. But for some reason to me, I'm just kind of like, I don't know what it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it,
so. What was the other one? So we were talking about, what was the other hot take?
Other hot take.
We could just go with one, you know, because that might piss a lot of people off. You don't want to piss them off
too much.
I don't
think they'll be too angry. I mean, they'll probably be like, you're completely wrong and an idiot. But, you know, other hot takes. Yeah, I don't know if I have too many other opinions that would be controversial. Yeah. Maybe JJP Pirates, like that. That's another one that.
This is the second podcast in a row that's come up.
Oh, is it? Yeah, yeah. Ben said, yeah. Okay.
He's like, it's too deep. I think it's overrated.
I think
we're pissing Izzy off today. Izzy, sorry, buddy.
I played it a lot because like Mike's had one at Retrocade since the beginning, you know.
Yeah.
And it just never grabbed me. I think it has an amazing amount of content. I mean, the different characters. I know that turned people off early on, but as time went on, I kind of got to appreciate
that. I was pretty intimidated when Troy had it at the arcade, and I walked up to him. I have no idea what I'm doing, and there's like 20 characters to pick from.
I kind of got to where I started understanding what some of... Then they changed them again.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
so like
of
everything
course.
Changed,
of course.
But I thought the Whirlpool ramp and the ships were cool and stuff, but like... From a shooting game, and I know this is a bit contradiction because of Twilight Zone. You know, in a way, Pirates is kind of like that. It's not like it's a stop and go kind of game. The ball's falling in holes all over the place, or being shot at the pirate ship. You know, it's a lot of toys and pirates, so it's not as much of a shooter's game as it is a toys and deep code game. But for some, and maybe it's the theme. Like, I never really was a huge fan of the movies. They're whatever. But yeah, I just never. I just couldn't believe the love affair with the price of that game. You know, it just kind of was like shocked. You know, when it started going up. So
yeah. I missed. I could have bought it from Troy, and it was up for $10.
Yeah.
And I was like, no way! I can't spend $10,000 on a game. This was before they ever even got there, and I was like, man, I there was a while. I was like. Totally missed the boat on that by like not buying that Medieval Madness for $7,000.
I can remember being at Texas that year it came out, and I want to say maybe I can't remember if the prototype had already pulled the triple spinning disc.
Yeah.
But Chris at Kingpin Games, he had a booth. I'm pretty sure it was at Texas, and that dude, there was like 20 of them stacked up.
Oh geez.
And nobody was buying.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's like, it's a little high. I don't know. They took the disc out. You know, like, we were just kicking it. And you know, I will say, they're even on the floor, it's such a mechanical game that there was, you know, balls getting stuck.
Yeah, that's a big turnoff, especially for people who don't know how to work on games. They get really nervous and they're like, I don't know.
Yeah, it was pretty early on, you know, and I was like, man, you know, this thing could be a nightmare, like, with all this, you know, because the. I think maybe even it still had the trunk that would open and close.
Izzy got worried on his too. You know, he ended up selling his, I think, last year, maybe a little bit longer ago. But he was like, I do worry that if something breaks on this, I'm not going to be able to get the parts.
At some point, maybe.
It's been a while. Yeah, it's been a while since they've had that.
I mean, I'm sure somebody...
Somebody will have them, but it's you kind of get caught. It's like, I joke, it's like buying a DeLorean. Like, you need parts for your DeLorean. You need a front fender. Like, good luck.
I think that back, game is, loved by the community at this point that somebody would just make the stuff. Like, if it become a problem, they would just make it.
All right. So, there's your hot takes. And let's see. We're going to go with 10... pinball questions, and then we'll wrap this up. I know it's funny, when I started this, I told you I'm like 30-40 minutes, like I'm gonna shoot for 30-40 minute episodes, but man, we get to talking and it's just fun. I love this stuff. I get carried away. So, you know, if you're somebody who likes to digest stuff in small batches, this may be a two-parter. You come back later. But all right, we're gonna get into 10 pinball questions. I did this with TV Ben. I gave him some good ones. So when my sister gets here, I'm going to give her much easier questions, but I expect much more out of you, Matt. So I'm going to push the envelope with these questions. All right. And you're not allowed to look. You can't really see up there. So don't turn around.
Right.
On the back glass of Twilight Zone, there's a jacket that says King what on it?
God, is it King's Men? God, what is it? I know the episode.
In all fairness, I've had this game here for 4 years, so you might have forgot what's on the back.
Oh, yeah. No, I know the jacket. It's a Letterman's jacket with the, King's.
It's a number.
Seven?
Nine.
Damn it. I know the episode. Yeah, that's what's so funny is I know the Twilight Zone episode that's from. Okay.
All right. What are the three control room modes on Stern's Jurassic Park? I had to look at the third one. I play it all the time, and I couldn't remember the third one.
Let's see. Secure control room's the wizard mode.
Yeah, that's the wizard mode for playing all three.
Virus attack?
Yes.
Is that one?
That's one.
Computer something? Is it shutdown? No. Restore power.
Restore power. Yeah, there it is. All right, and there's one more.
Let's see. Virus attack. I think about his dumb voice when I'm saying them. Restore power. You know, or what's the third one?
When everything goes down, what does he have to do to the system?
Oh, system boot.
There it is. All right. I'll give you that one. You got there.
That's close.
You got excited on restore power. Restore power.
Yeah. My brain.
All right. Now, here you go. I like to ask questions about games that people own and have had too.
I should know, but I've played.
Okay. Let's see if you know this one. Who did the artwork on Rush?
Michael Bernard.
God, I didn't think you were going to get that one. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
In the shadow, there's a magnet that pulls the ball up the play field. What 2023 game has this feature?
Pulls the ball up the play field. 2023 game?
It's a release. Yeah. Released in 2023.
Looney Tunes and Texas Chainsaw have a magnet that does that.
There you go. Yeah. I put down Texas Chainsaw. I forgot about Looney Tunes. I'll give you that one too. All right, you're doing pretty good. What was the first production pinball machine from Spooky?
First one, America's Most Haunted.
There you go. Yeah. Got it. See, I wouldn't have got that. I would have been like, was it Jetsons or Domino?
I did have that for a second. I was like, no.
It was America's Most Haunted. Yeah. All right, I got one for you. See if you can get this one. We're going deep on this one.
No.
Dan Lee and Dwight Sullivan are listed as the software team for this December 1990 Bally release.
1990?
December 1990.
Dan Lee and Dwight were the coders.
I was shocked.
You said the code?
I was like, it's like that elf thing. Shocking. Yeah. They were the software team, so they did the software for the game.
You said Bally?
Bally, 1990. I was shocked when I saw Dwight listed there. God. I don't know Dan Lee. I don't know if Dan Lee's still doing stuff.
No, I don't think so. It wasn't Party Zone, was it?
No.
Was Party Zone Bally? Crap. What else was Bally, 1990? Radical was 1990 Bally.
I love this one.
Damn it. Yeah, it's killing me. Because there wasn't a ton of... I don't think there was a lot of 1990 releases.
You might be shocked by this.
Yeah, give it to me.
Bugs Bunny birthday ball.
Oh, I should have known you were going to use Bugs Bunny.
Yeah. Dwight was on the software.
I didn't know Dwight was on the software. His first lead was...
According to Pinside.
Yeah, his first lead, I think, was High Speed 2.
Was it High Speed 2?
Yeah, I think that was his first lead.
I was like, wow, Dwight did Bugs Bunny Birthday Ball.
I didn't know that, yeah.
And everybody complains about the code on that. I'm like, so I don't know who was in charge of that. But do you think we can get a hold of Dwight and ask him to fix the code on Bugs Bunny, and I'll go buy one after that?
Like, no. No. Could you add multipliers to this shot, Dwight, for Bugs Bunny?
Can you give me more points when I'm shooting the ball up the playfield the wrong direction? All right, what 56-year-old comedian is on the playfield of a May 2021 Stern pinball machine?
2021 Stern, May. What comedian?
He's pretty famous.
Pretty famous, and he's on the playfield.
He's technically on the back box on the premium, too.
Is it Bill Burr, Mandalorian?
Yes, you're right. Yeah. Bill Burr and Mandalorian. Yeah. I'm like, damn, he's on the back box. And I was like, he's on the play field, too.
You know, that's actually awesome. I didn't remember him being on the play field. Oh, yeah.
He's on the play field by the right out lane. Yeah.
God, I forgot about that.
I saw that as soon as I got that game. I'm like, Bill Burr's on the pinball machine.
Yeah, the back box.
That's awesome. Yeah. All right, we're almost there. What is written on the top of the pop bumper caps on CGC's Pulp Fiction? Because you've been playing that game a lot.
It's like the twist contest or twist and... No, it's
you're
not...
close. You get you're
twist
close.
And shout. Oh, God.
Yeah, it's related to the...
dance-off.
Yeah.
The dance competition. Oh, Jackrabbit Slim.
There you go. Yeah. You got it. Yeah. Hey, he's pulling these out, man. I love it.
Yeah.
All right. You'll probably get this one. This is a softball. I'm going to throw this one right down the middle. Who did the artwork on Williams' 1990s? Funhouse.
Oh, John Yancey.
There you go. All right. I got one. We're going deep again. All right. Who did the music on Williams Fishtails?
Oh, Chris Graner.
Damn. I didn't think you were going to get that one.
Oh, man.
Well, that's it. There's
killing it.
10 pinball questions with Matt. All right. You're pretty good.
Not too bad.
Yeah. Are you about 80%? I gotta start like keeping a counter.
Yeah. I mean, some of them you had to kind of nudge me along, but.
Yeah. No, those were fun. Those were fun questions. I had fun putting those together. It took me a while. Like, I can't, you know, there's some with you and some of the people that are like all into the history and all that. Like, I got to go a little deeper.
Yeah. Not too tough on me, though. Not too tough.
No, not too bad. You did it good. I'd give you a prize, but I don't have anything. And in fact, you dropped something off for me. So,
And FYI,
I'll set Labyrinth up. I'll get it set up. I'll play a couple games on it. Get enough to know how to be dangerous on it, and then I'll get that one up for streaming. So I'm super psyched on that. It's gonna beat the shit out of me. I already know it.
It was brutal with me.
Can somebody do custom code that includes Jennifer Connelly? Well, no, I don't think I don't. I probably shouldn't ask for that. I went back and watched that, and I'm like, yeah, she's pretty young.
Well, in the
and David Bowie's hitting on her. We won't talk about that. Maybe they were like, pull that out, just pull her out of the game.
Poison
and then,
peach mode. You're kind of reliving that scene of the dance, like,
oh yeah,
but it's like through her, you know, you don't see her through her eyes in a way, but it's supposed to be, you know, the player. And I, every time I watch it, I'm like, yeah, it's kind of weird.
It's a little awkward. So it's probably a good thing Jennifer Connelly's not on there.
Yeah, the biggest thing if you want to do anything in Labyrinth is get Didymus to level one immediately, because that lights that left out lane save.
I'm gonna work on that. I'll work on that. Yeah. So all right. Well, we are at an hour and 22 minutes. So 30 minutes, we've blown past that. But it's been a pleasure, Matt.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. We'll get you back. We'll get some more games in. We'll get you back. We'll get some more questions, and we'll get some more topics. So, all right.
Good.
Well, and I forgot. What's today? Today's December 30th, right?
Yeah.
So next time you come back, we'll probably have some more stuff to talk about, because I think tomorrow is media day for Stern's new release, unless I'm mistaken. Could be wrong.
I'm out of the loop.
So we'll find out tomorrow possibly what the next Stern game's coming out this year. Squeezing it in, right?
God, it's crazy.
December 31st.
They're amazing.
Yeah.
Never stop. So, yeah, I'm excited to see what they got. I mean,
yeah.
I've got dollars waiting, but there's so many good options that it's...
Yeah. I'm waiting to see what King Kong looks like. That's what's going to be out there.
Yeah,
that's the rumor.
I'm really hoping for the next Dwight Eddie game, just to be a monster. Like,
yeah,
I know
I would love
it. Dungeons and Dragons.
And Dragons with levels and special quests you can unlock.
It would be really
cool
if they crush it, you know, because everybody's going to poo-poo the theme a little bit. A lot of people, it's not going to be as big as Jaws or King Kong, but I think it'd be awesome if they had a real hit.
Yeah. If there's a cool toy on the playfield too, man.
Maybe we get another
castle. Maybe we get another castle, dude. We were talking about the other day.
Yeah.
All right, well, we will we'll wrap this one up. I want to thank everyone for joining. Thank you, Matt, for joining me for this. As you run about your day after dropping off a game and have probably three other things to still go do in another city. So with that, I'm going to kick it over to the end screen. I say it every time. Stay safe. Play more pinball.